हरिः ओम् तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ओम् ओम् सदाशिवसमारम्भाम् व्यासशङ्करमध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्ताम् वन्दे गुरुपरम्पराम् श्रुतिस्मृतिपुराणानाम् आलयम् करुणालयम् नमामि भगवत्पादशङ्करम् लोकशङ्करम् शङ्करम् शङ्कराचार्यम् केशवम् बादरायणम् सूत्रभाष्यकृतौ वन्दे भगवन्तौ पुनः पुनः ॐ हरिः ॐ तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ॐ मूकम् करोति वाचालम् पङ्गुम् लङ्घयते गिरिम् यत्कृपातमहम् वन्दे परमानन्दमाधवम् यम् ब्रह्मा वरुणेन्द्ररुद्रमरुतः स्तुन्वन्ति दिव्यैस्तवैः वेदैः साङ्गपदक्रमोपनिषदैः गायन्ति यम् सामगा ध्यानावस्थिततद्गतेन मनसा पश्यन्ति यम् योगिनो यस्यान्तम् न विदुःसुरासुरगणाः देवाय तस्मै नमः ॐ श्री परमात्मने नमः वि हाव् कवर्ड् अप् टु द 17th वर्स् आफ् दिस् चाप्टर् 6th chapter. As we have seen, Krishna covers mainly 5 important topics in this chapter, even though contemplation, nididhyasanam, is the main topic focused. So he presents the general disciplines which need to be observed always in day-to-day transactions called Bahiranga Sadhanani, and the disciplines which need to be observed before one sits for practice of meditation called Antaranga Sadhanani. The third topic he covers, apart from Bahiranga Sadhanani and Antaranga Sadhanani, the general disciplines and the specific disciplines. General disciplines to be observed always and specific disciplines to be observed before the practice of meditation. He discusses the process of meditation. He presents the process of meditation. And unless one strictly observes this Bahiranga Sadhanani, there is no way of one entertaining the meditative disposition of the mind, without which the meditation is not possible and meditation will not be effective. And here, I said an important thing yesterday. Patanjali Maharshi propounded the Yoga Shastram. The Yoga Shastram consists of two aspects, two parts. And as I said yesterday, the one part is the practical aspect of the Shastram, discussing the discipline of meditation. And the other part discusses the yoga system of philosophy called Yoga Darshanam. So Vyasacharya, the great exponent of the Vedanta Shastra, who has blessed us with the Brahma Sutras and written all the 36 Mahapuranani, and he highly recommends and follows this yoga practice, in the sense, the practical aspect of yoga shastram, of the yoga, the meditation aspect. Shankar Bhagavatpada also actually employs this, accepts this, the yoga system of the meditation. Even though the yoga darshanam is not accepted by the Vedantins, but yoga as the meditation aspect of the yoga shastram is accepted, because it serves as a very good discipline, the technique to discipline the mind. And the yoga system of meditation consists of 8 limbs or 8 steps. And Patanjali's, these 8 steps themselves, prove that even Patanjali Maharishi does not teach this meditation straight away directly, because meditation is not merely a mental, even though meditation is a mental activity, it is not just the mental activity, because it is entertainment of the thoughts pertaining to the one and the only object. So it is natural for the attention of the mind to slip away from one thing and to go to the other. The very nature of the mind is that it is always in a state of flux. Mind is of the nature of agitation. Mind is always in a state of flux. Why mind is like that? That is the nature of the mind. It is like asking this question, why waves are wavering all the time? That is why it's called wave. That is the nature of the wave. Wave means it will not something like one flat, one stick form water will not remain one place all the time. That which keeps moving is the wave. The very name wave tells what? That which is of the nature of wavering, keep moving, isn't it? In Tamil also we say alai vadal alai. That is the nature. Similarly here mind, why mind doesn't remain quiet? Why the mind doesn't remain still? Why it keeps, why the thoughts keep flowing? Means that is the very nature of the mind, which means mind is nothing but, the thoughts. The thoughts constitute the mind. So varied, multifarious varieties of thoughts constitute the mind, and thoughts arise and thoughts keep flowing. So constant, continuous flow of varied thoughts constitute the antahkaranam, the mind. Therefore, here, for this mind to be able to entertain one thought in the mind, one thought pertaining to or dealing with one object to be there continuously, one needs a tremendous, rigorous restraint, the discipline. That is why for that meditation, as a prerequisite qualification, Patanjali himself introduces the basic disciplines like Yamaha, Niyamaha. Yesterday I explained how Yamaha consists of 5-fold disciplines: Ahimsa, Satyam, Asteyam, Ahimsa, Satyam, Asteyam, Brahmacharyam, then we have Aparigraha. And similarly, we also saw other Niyamaha. There are 5-fold disciplines come under the title of Niyamaha. The name again we have the shaucham, the cleanliness, internal and external, bahya shaucham, antara shaucham. Antara shaucham, bahya shaucham, the shaucham. Then we have shaucham, the swadhyayaha, shaucham, swadhyayaha, tapas. We also have here, importantly, Ishvara prapattihi. One more thing I have to tell, I know. No, shaucham, the shaucham, the Ishvara prapattihi comes as the last. Yesterday I explained that, finally, I left it yesterday, I brought it back again to explain that. Remember? Because not that I didn't want to leave it, mainly I started with this Shastra Swadhyayaha. Because Swadhyaya is very important all the time to remind us of the importance of following these disciplines. So like this, Yamaha and Niyamaha, what have to be avoided, what have to be strictly followed. Anyway, even though the do's and don'ts, these are all disciplines to be observed by any meditator. Only strictly knowing the value of these disciplines, strictly observing them, thereby developing the habit, you know, of having those disciplines, you know, is very important for any meditator to become a successful meditator. Then the third step, he introduces the asanam. The asanam, even though it's a seat, the posture, for anyone to be able to sit in a given posture continuously for at least for quarter hour, you know, one needs to need training, isn't it? The body must be fit. Only without moving the legs, without moving this position, if one has to sit for even for quarter an hour, 20-25 minutes or half an hour, definitely one's body must be fit. So here even the asanas are taught, the physical exercises specifically designed for the physical fitness, and which also becomes a discipline for the mental condition. So this is asanani. We have the asana, the third step. The fourth we saw yesterday, the pranayamaha. As I said, pranayamaha is the regulation of our breaths, inhalation and exhalation. Thereby, regulation of respiration itself as is a discipline. When you focus, just observing your observation of your breath itself contributes for, you know, maintaining the frequency of the thought flow. There's a connection between thought flow and the breathing. Because as I said, the two are connected to two different shaktis. As the prana is associated with the kriya shakti, and thoughts are associated with the jnana shakti, and they both shaktis are associated with the maya shakti, the interconnection being there between pranas and the thoughts, always to calm down the restless mind, initially one can use pranayama also as a means. No, the breathing exercise, a regulation of a breath also tremendously helps to maintain the speed of the thought flow. I mean, maintain the mental calmness. That's where Ramana Maharshi says, you know, jala pakshivat rodha sadakam sadhanam. You know, jala pakshihi, the bird which is, you know, which has been caught in the net, you know, we got encaged in the net, and that pakshi cannot fly because it is flying freely. And then because once you put the net, you catch the bird in the net, it is caught up in the net, means it cannot fly. Similarly, jala pakshivat, like the bird which has been caught up, you know, which is held in a net, cannot fly. Similarly, the mind also becomes captured and then retained you know, because of the practice of this regulation of pranas. This is a connection. So pranayama is a fourth step. Then comes the pratyaharaha. This pratyaharaha is actually what is said to be pratyaharaha in the yogic yoga philosophy, the language of yoga philosophy, is actually called dhamaha in Vedanta Shastram. Is it? Dhamaha means the sensory restraint. Or we can say sensory discipline. Disciplining the sense organs. Disciplining the sense organs also, because as long as sense organs are allowed to be indulging in their corresponding sense objects, they keep on reporting to the mind all the details of the objects they are involved in, then naturally mind is helplessly drawn towards the sense objects. Even though sense organs are meant for the perception of the world, meant for experiencing the world, meant for the enjoyment of the external world of objects, when the question of meditation comes, you need the very, for this meditation, you need to, you know, turn the attention of the mind from the external world of objects to, is it, towards the other, in fact, the truth of one's own self. It has to be turned away. Attention has to be turned away from the objects. For which what needs to be done is, first of all, the sense organs should be stopped from reporting the objects, reporting about the objects. For which the sense objects, sense organs should be turned away from the sense objects. How do you do? For that also you have to use your own will there. The will is, that's why it's a deliberate will-involved action. How do you do that? How do you take your senses away from objects? How can you turn your senses, you know, turn your senses away from objects? Only by using your will, which means you turn only through, by turning the attention of the mind from the sense objects, you turn the senses from your senses away from the objects. This is indriya nigraha. Then the sense organs do not report about the objects anymore when the perception does not take place. Why perception is not taking place? Because attention has been turned away. This is indriya nigraha, pratyaharaha. So this pratyaharaha is otherwise called dhamaha. So indriya nigraha, dhamaha, pratyaharaha are all synonyms. Then comes pranayamaha, pratyaharaha, then dharanam. The sixth step comes, the dharanam. So here, you have to remember one thing. All the first yamaha, niyamaha, isn't it? Mainly, yamaha, niyamaha, all of them together, you can say, the bahiranga sadhanani, and in fact, the tapaha, swadhyayaha, no, and Ishvara Prapattihi, these three which come under the title of the Niyamas together are known as Kriya Yoga. The three disciplines coming under the heading of the Niyamas form the Kriya Yoga. It's called Kriya Yoga technically in Yoga Shastram. The Kriya Yoga alone, we including all the other disciplines, we call Karma Yoga in Vedanta Shastram. Kriya is a feminine gender word. Karma is a neutral gender word. That's all. What is Kriya Yoga? People think Kriya Yoga means something, doing something differently. No. In Yoga Shastram, when they talk about Kriya Yoga, what do they mention? Swadhyayaha. What is Swadhyayaha for What is a study? Self-study means what? Not studying by oneself. Study of the scriptures is for what? All the time to remind you of the importance of the way of life you need to live. So to keep oneself, always to maintain oneself in the right track, not to be distracted, not to go to the wrong track, no, one needs to have satsangaha. Therefore, even there in Yoga Shastram, Swadhyayaha, study of the scriptures is emphasized. Then, Swadhyayaha, then tapas. Tapas means what? Austerity. What is austerity? Austerity here is living a pomp-free, glamour-free, simple living, austere living implies what? In fact, following all these ahimsa, satyam, asteyam, all these values, following these values strictly itself makes a person's life simple living. A simple means you just live a simple, original, clean life. The commitment to follow this, being strict about following those values and discipline itself is what? Tapas. Therefore, tapas swadhyayaha and Ishwara prapattihi, Bhagavat prapattihi, the sharanagatihi, otherwise called sharanagatihi, is also very, very important in that, you know, kriya yogaha. So, in fact, these three we include with all the disciplines. For us is what? Karma Yoga. Okay? So apart from that, now we say this pranayamaha, pratyaharaha, dharanam. Those three, okay, come under what? Come under the category of the not bahya, antaranga sadhanani. Bahiranga sadhanani, first yamanayamas, bahiranga sadhanani, then pranayama, pratyahara, dhanam come under the category of antaranga sadhanani. But here again, if you take the dharanam, dhyanam and samadhihi, the last three which I left yesterday. These three, a set of these last three steps, last three disciplines, last three steps, together is called Atma Sanyamaha or Sanyamaha. In the yoga system of philosophy, you know, in this yoga system of meditation, don't involve philosophy there. In yoga system, the set of these three steps, Dharanam, Dhyanam and Samadhi, together a set of these three is called Atma Sanyamaha or Sanyamaha. So what is Dharanam? Dharanam literally means holding. So here holding the thought. So holding the thought means what, isn't it? The thought, attention of the mind is elsewhere. So first of all, taking the attention of the mind from the objects, turning the attention of the mind from the objects and placing the attention, once you turn the attention of the mind from elsewhere and suppose to place it, where do you place it? So placing the attention of the mind and the given object of meditation. So focusing the attention of the mind on a given object of meditation is called dharanam. First, fixing the attention of the mind on a given object of meditation is called dharanam. So focusing the attention of the mind on a given object or fixing the attention of the mind on a given object means entertaining a thought, dealing with that given object is called a dharanam. It's like even in archery, suppose a person has to shoot, before they shoot, first they have to place the attention, no, they focus the attention first. That's called dharanam. Then having focused the attention of the mind on the object of meditation, you know, when you focus the attention of the mind, you will be there, you try to fix the mind, the same object, but what happens, attention will definitely slip away and go. Every time the attention slips away, what are you supposed to do? You'll be aware of the attention slipping away, because you have deliberately, you have used your will to sit in meditation. Therefore, you are trying to focus attention on a given object. The attention slips away and goes. Then you bring the attention back to the object and place it. Again, try to be with that object. Again, the attention goes, isn't it? So, you repeatedly bring the attention back to the object. So, in this, there is, when you fix the mind, attention of the mind on a given object, you are using your will. You are making initiative. Isn't it? You deliberately, using your will, you try to fix the attention of the mind on a given object. And if, when it slips off, you are aware of the attention slipping away. Again, you bring it back. The effort is involved. Isn't it? Will is involved. The deliberation is involved. Isn't it? There is a struggle involved. This process of this is called what now? Dhyanam. This is dhyanam. Then by repeated effort, when you are able to fix the attention of the mind on a given object. So, because of effort, then there is absorption. The attention remains absorbed in the object of meditation. It is called samadhi. This is the eighth step, which means the struggle of slipping away, attention slipping away is not there. Attention going away, being brought again, goes away, is brought again. That struggle has come to an end. That struggle of slipping away of the attention, again being the attention being brought back to the object, that struggle comes to an end. Why? Because of the repeated deliberate effort, somehow it has become a habit. Now what happened? The attention remains absorbed in the object. It takes quite some time. That when the object attention remains absorbed in the object, that is called what? Samadhihi. This is the eighth step. So Krishna uses these last three steps, which means he teaches this. It means Vyasacharya, through Krishna's words, now actually recommends this dharanam, dhyanam and samadhi. We'll see that. Understand correctly. We are going to see samadhi in a different way. This is the basic understanding of dharanam, dhyanam, samadhi. So, when I said bringing the attention of the mind, taking it away from the other objects, and focusing attention on a given object is dharanam, when I say. So what does it mean? So you entertain a thought in the mind. You entertain a thought pertaining to that given object of meditation. That is called as dharanam. Understand? Then you try to, when you try to retain the mind, okay, focus the mind on the object of meditation, which means you entertain a thought pertaining to the given object of meditation, then the attention will try to go away. But what happens? You try to retain the attention in the same object. Which means when you try to retain the attention in the same object, they should entertain the same thought, you know, pertaining to the same object. Isn't it? What happens? The vritti, it's called what now? Antahkarana vrittihi. Vrittihi. So when I say, okay, I see the clock, there's a clock, I see the clock, now I try to focus attention on the clock. When I focus my attention on the clock, then I entertain a thought pertaining to that particular object called the clock. It's called what? No, I have clock akara vrittihi. Clock akara vrittihi. If I have clock akara vrittihi, what I have wrote? I have, similarly, if I see a flower bunch, if I may focus my attention on flower bunch, then I entertain a thought pertaining to the flower bunch. It's called what now? Flower akara vrittihi. If I see this given bird, if I focus my attention on, I'm teaching you something very important. When I focus my attention on that object called bird, I want to fix my thought. I take my attention of the mind from all the objects and focus on this green, small, tiny, little, beautiful bird, the parrot. Then I entertain, I have dharanam now. Focusing my attention on that one object called pakshi, the bird. Then I have here what? I entertain a thought pertaining to the bird, which is called pakshi akara vrittihi. Pakshi akara vrittihi. Suppose even if in front of me there is a pakshi sitting here, suppose a bird sitting here in front of me, if I do not pay attention to that, my attention is not focused on that bird, my attention is really held elsewhere completely, then I do not entertain the thought pertaining to the bird, then there is no pakshi akara vritti, is not there. Understand? We are paying attention to a given object, shifting the attention from everything else other than that one given object is called what? Dharanam. When you have dharanam, you entertain that particular thought pertaining to that given object of your focus. But what happens, because of the nature of the very thoughts, that thoughts are of the nature of, you know, keep moving. Thoughts are of the nature of flowing, moving, fleeting. What happens? That thought will go. The bird thought will comes and go. Thoughts are momentary. Kshanika. Vrittihi kshanika. how long will a thought remain? When I'm talking to you, it looks as though it's very long, isn't it? But really speaking, each thought is a kshanika, momentary. Thoughts keep fleeting. So that bird thought will go, some other thought will come, some other thought will come, which means the thoughts pertaining to different objects will keep, you know, coming. But here, what we do in this meditation, when you focus attention on a given object of meditation, then you try to entertain the same thought. Why? Because you focus attention on that one given object, so that you try to entertain the similar thoughts. First, suppose there is a bird in front of me, and I focus my attention on the bird. I entertain a thought, akara vritti, pakshi akara vrittihi. I don't allow my thought to go elsewhere. I try to focus my thought, attention on the same bird. So that I will continuously have what? Same pakshi thought, pakshi akara vrittihi, pakshi akara vrittihi, pakshi akara vrittihi, pakshi akara vrittihi. So the thoughts keep flowing, but still object is the same. Understand? It's called sajatiya pratyaya pravahaha or sajatiya vritti pravahaha. There's a constant, continuous flow of similar thoughts. It's called dhyanam. So, constant, continuous flow of similar thoughts. So here will is involved, deliberation is involved, effort is involved. Hope you understand the difference between dharanam and dhyanam. Sajatiya pratyaya pravahaha. When you are focusing your attention on that bird, the thoughts keep flowing. In the flow of thoughts, the thoughts you entertain in your mind, all the thoughts entertained in your mind are pertaining to the one object, which means there is a constant, continuous flow of the thoughts of the same object. It means similar thoughts. Pakshi akara vrittihi, bird akara vrittihi, bird akara vrittihi. In between, when you see the suppose, you just see it, suddenly the bird's beak reminds you, suddenly, no, the thought slips off. Attention of the mind slips away from that thing. The beak reminds you of your strawberry. And you suddenly, what happened? Oh my God, I kept a box full of strawberries in the fridge. What happened to them? They must have gone, no? They must have got spoiled. I wish I gave it to Swami at least. You know? At least I gave it to somebody. No? I'd like kept them outside so the birds could have eaten. Things go, thoughts go away. It's called what now? It's a distraction, isn't it? It's called slips away. When such other thoughts come, it's called what? Vijatiya vrittayaha. Vijatiya vrittihi. Dissimilar thought. Okay? Bird means it should be in the bird. From there, the thought slips away means other objects come. The object of your thought is some other object. Then becomes what now? Vijatiya pratyayaha. Dissimilar thought. So what is meditation here? There's a definition. So here, sajatiya pratyaya pravahaha. In fact, vijatiya pratyaya anantarita sajatiya pratyaya pravahaha. It's a long sentence, isn't it? I repeat it. Vijatiya pratyaya anantarita sajatiya pratyaya pravahaha. It means constant, continuous flow of thoughts, similar thoughts to the exclusion of dissimilar thoughts. So in between, whenever the attention slips off, you're aware of your attention slipping off, then you bring the attention again back to the same object. Bring the attention back from the birds outside, Swamini, strawberry, fridge, back to just this bird. Bringing attention back to this. This is your object of focus. Again, you're able to remain. They work on pakshiyakara vritti, pakshiyakara vritti, pakshiyakara vritti, pakshiyakara vritti. Either you entertain the thoughts and entertain the thought pertaining to this one object. There is a constant flow of thoughts, but object of all the thoughts is one, means sajatiya vritti pravahaha. If some other objects comes in between, vijatiya vritti pravaha or pratyaya pravaha. So that's why definition is what? Vijatiya pratyaya anantarita sajatiya pratyaya pravaha. Means constant, continuous flow of similar thoughts. Means the thoughts for which object is one and the same, to the exclusion of dissimilar thoughts. Is it clear? And because in this, you know, in this, effort is involved, will is involved, your initiative is involved, and there's a struggle of, you know, the thought slipping away is there, struggle of bringing it back is there, isn't it? Therefore, this is called what? Dhyanam, meditation. This is dhyanam. You know, meditation means you have to go. It is only all the steps, isn't it? This is dhyanam. So, repeated practice, by sheer practice what happens, then the attention remains fixed. Attention does not slip away. Attention remains with one object. Then there is absorption of the attention in the object, is called samadhi, which is the eighth step of Ashtanga Yoga. Absorption. Even though there is absorption here, what happens? Absorption means what? Actually, in absorption is there, because there is will involved, effort involved, initiative is involved, deliberation is involved, even though attention remains, you know, fixed in a given object, there's a flow of thoughts are there. See, please understand, in samadhi thoughts are there. Thoughts are there. Thoughts keep flowing. Thoughtlessness is not the end here. Thoughts keep flowing. The object of all the thoughts is one and the same. That is very important. Therefore, even though absorption is there, still there is what? I am the meditator that is there, and this object of meditation is there. That division is there in, therefore it's called what? Savikalpaka Samadhi. Even Samadhi also what now? Even though absorption is there, still there is in one corner, what now? Of the mind, I am different from the object of meditation. The division is there. The word Savikalpaka Samadhi is the eighth step of Ashtanga Yoga. An important thing I want to tell you here is, when do you call dhyana meditation? Suppose if you focus your attention on any given object, one object, if that object does not represent, does not symbolize the Bhagavan, the Lord, the whole, then you cannot call it a meditation dhyanam. If you simply focus attention on any one given object, a pakshi, or simply, if that object symbolizes the Lord, it represents the Lord, the whole, then it is meditation. Simply, I focus on one object, means you cannot call it a meditation. It is only developing, it's a practice of concentration. Because concentration also is a mental activity. Meditation also is a mental activity. In fact, mental activity means without doing physically anything, if you are focus attention on something, if you are simply thinking, all is what? Mental activity. You simply sit and worry about something. Worrying is also what? Mental activity. You visualize something, plan, sit and plan something mentally, scheme. When to start, where to go, where to stay. You plan out your work. This is also mental activity. So it is not mere mental activity. Sometimes before you work out your plan, you first plan your work. You are sitting and planning. This is also mental activity. Therefore, meditation is not a mere mental activity. That is why the definition is what? Saguna Brahma Vishaya Manasavyaparaha. Mental activity means attention of the mind is focused, and the object of your attention, of the thought, it must be Bhagavan. Only then it is dhyana, meditation. Otherwise it is concentration. A mere exercise of concentration. Understand? That is very important here. So, okay, here. Now, when you remain absorbed in that object, because a deliberate practice, in due course of time, by sheer habit, what happens? That one, there will be continuously the flow of similar thoughts results in leave the impressions, results in samskara. The samskara, samskara is called what here? Sukshma Vritti Anuvrittihi. The technique is called Sukshma Vrittihi. So what you are dwelling upon, isn't it? Repeatedly what you are thinking of, that goes to your subconscious. I ought to talk to you about this even when I did Drip Drishya Viveka text. Okay? That goes to your subconscious. Then that will what now? Then without your will, without your knowledge, without your will, there will be flow of the same thoughts. The sukshma vritti, there will be flow of sukshma vrittis, which keep flowing without your will, without your effort. How does it happen? By sheer habit. Because it has created what not, it creates the sukshma vrittis. Samskara happens because of your deliberate effort. Initially, your effort was involved, will was used, deliberation was there. Now, that deliberate mental activity resulted in the creation of samskara, you know, the vasanas, and which have gone to your subconscious, then without your knowledge also, that those thoughts keep flowing, where there is no will involved, isn't it? Flowing, therefore there is no division also involved. No division involved means what? There is a division involved, but division is not manifest. Without your will, involvement of your will, without your effort, there is a flow of thoughts, the division is unmanifest, like in your deep sleep state. And that is called what now? Nirvikalpaka Samadhi. Nirvikalpaka Samadhi. Okay. But here, what is the object of your meditation? But Krishna does not recommend any other object of meditation. Here, object of meditation is your own Swarupam. So, Atma, Atma Dhyanam, Atma Swarupa Dhyanam, Swarupa Anusandhanam. So, Swarupa Anusandhanam means you are the meditator and you are focusing your attention on your own Swarupam. Which means, you understood your Swarupam being consciousness through the Shastra Shravanam. Shastra Shravanam has given you this knowledge. What is that knowledge? The I, how, when you understand, the analyze and understand the wave, even though is a form, the name of a given form, you know definitely the wave, the form and name wave is a thing but water, the H2O. Similarly here, wave is not just the form, the name of a given form. It is water, the H2O. Similarly, I, the first person singular pronoun I, which I use to refer myself, which I say I know I am, that I actually is not what? Not just this physical body, physical form, not the pranas, or not the sense powers, or not the powers of organs of actions, not even all these physiological functions, not any of the thoughts. I is not even the mind, because mind also is object of knowledge. Therefore, I actually is nothing but consciousness. Aham, the Swarupam of I is pure consciousness. Therefore, I am consciousness. Aham, Brahma Asmi. I, the self, am the limitless reality consciousness. This you don't mechanically say, Aham, Brahma Asmi, don't mechanically prattle. Really speaking, you have understood clearly through Shastra Shravanam. You know this fact. But what happens? This fact you pay attention to this fact which you have understood through Shastra study. So here the object of your focus is your own swarupam. Therefore it is Atma Swarupa Anusandhanam, so Swarupa Anusandhanam. Where do you, therefore Krishna says here, is going to say here, first he is going to say, no, Yada Chittam Vinayatam Bhavati. When the attention of the mind is taken away from all the anatma prapancha, means it is taken away from the objects, sense objects, taken away from the sense powers, taken away from the body, attention has been shifted even from the body to thoughts also. You know, object of your thought is not even the thought. Not the thought, not the senses. Object of your thought is not anything anatma, but it's very swarupam. Isn't it? Therefore, you're focusing your attention on that very swarupam. And how do you do that? Which you understood, you have to use the Shastra's words. What are all the words Shastram uses? I have to remember here. Suppose Shastram says, Aham Shuddha Asmi. Aham Shuddha. Aham Brahma Asmi. Okay. Then Aham Shuddha Asmi. Means how the consciousness is free from all impurities. You are very clear about it. There is no doubt. So Aham Shuddhoham. When you say, what is the focus here? Your object of your focus is your own Swarupam, the consciousness. And you see the meaning of the word Shuddha, no, being what? No, the consciousness being the meaning of the word Aham Shuddhosmi, Shuddha Asmi, Aham Nityaha Asmi. You see how consciousness is of the nature of timelessness, isn't it? So you entertain those, what are the thoughts now? Even though thoughts are many, even though the words, no, the Shuddhosmi, Nityosmi, Buddhosmi, you are thinking Asangosmi. How I am unafflicted by consciousness is not afflicted by any vrittis. Like what? Now here there are so many objects here. No? The object shines in the light. Whether this mic falls down, mic stands here, mic is moved from here to there, from there to here. Whatever is happening in the light, isn't it? The objects moving in the light do not afflict the light. Light is not afflicted by, touched by, tainted by objects moving in the light. Isn't it? Not tainted. Similarly, the thoughts which are moving, which keep flowing in consciousness, of course thoughts shine in consciousness, thoughts are pervaded by consciousness, but still thoughts, movement of thoughts really does not afflict the consciousness in any way. Therefore, I am that consciousness means Aham Asangaha Asmi, Asanga Atma, Nitya Atma, Shuddha Atma, Buddha Atma. You are seeing the nature of consciousness. How you say wave is water, the H2O. Similarly, I itself am consciousness, which is of the nature of timelessness, untaintedness, unafflictedness. You see that, isn't it? Then what? Where is your attention? Jagat is not the object of your attention. Mind is not the object of your attention. Your mind, attention of your mind is what now? Dwelling upon Swarupam, the nature of yourself, the consciousness. What are the thoughts entertained? Thoughts keep flowing. Constant, continuous flow of thoughts, objects of those thoughts is one and the only consciousness. Even though you are using different words, Shuddha, Nityaha, Asangaha, etc., each word implies the nature of consciousness. Understand? You are focusing. It's a deliberate action. isn't it? Then here what happens, the meditator, meditated division is not there. And this, because when you do it repeatedly, when you practice in due course of time, no, the mind falls into the groove. Then it remains absorbed in this object. That absorption is called Savikalpa Samadhi. Then when the attention remains absorbed, then there is, when you are in Savikalpa Samadhi, the later on, by sheer habit, that in Savikalpa Samadhi, that attention leaves behind vasanas. Those vasanas become what now? Sukshma Vrittihi. Then, whether you remember or not, without your knowledge, those thoughts will be flowing, wherein the division is not there. Because your will is not there, without the division is there, but division is unmanifest. But still there is a constant, continuous flow of Sukshma Vrittihi. So, constant, continuous flow of Sukshma Vrittihi, subtle thoughts, no, which thoughts? Similar thoughts, okay? To the exclusion of dissimilar thoughts, there is a continuous flow of similar thoughts without your knowledge, without your effort, isn't it? There is a flow. And where the duality, division is unmanifest, that is called Nirvikalpaka Samadhi. I have to tell you a lot of other things. So the first eight, Savikalpaka Samadhi, is the eighth step of Ashtanga Yoga. These eight steps, what is the benefit of practicing these eightfold limbs? Where should they culminate? The culmination of the final benefit of practicing these eightfold, eight-limbed this yoga will result in Nirvikalpaka Samadhi. I have not told about mukti, jnanam, anything. I am only just stopped here. So what is the Nirvikalpaka Samadhi? Nirvikalpa Samadhi is not the ninth step. It's a benefit of the practice of eight-limbed yoga. If the object of your focus is something else, it is not dhyanam. The object of focus is Bhagavan, isn't it? A symbol representing, symbol which stands for Bhagavan, it is dhyanam. Isn't it? If the object of your focus is your own swarupam, it is nididhyasanam. Understand? Okay, but here, you have to remember an important lesson. In the any of these eight steps, which should culminate in the Nirvikalpaka Samadhi, will not remove your ignorance. Okay, so ignorance removal, Shastra study alone will remove your ignorance. Because here, the object of your focus is Atma Swarupam. You are supposed to focus attention on this Swarupam, your own Swarupam. But meditation will not help you know what your Swarupam is. You know your Swarupam through Shastra study. Then you dwell upon that Swarupam, which is Nididhyasanam. I'll give you another example. This is a very famous example in the Shastra teaching. See, when you do not see an object at all, there is a given object. When you do not see it at all, that object is not, cannot be a source of pain, nor can it be a source of pleasure. Why? You do not know it is, it exists. There is an object, but you do not see that object. You do not know the object exists. When you do not know that object exists, even though it is existent, it cannot be a source of pain or source of pleasure for you. Isn't it? That's why in utter darkness, suppose we happen to see, if there happens to be a snake crawling, Mita immediately will pick a leg and put upon the thing. Not a snake, a spider comes into Mita's room. Spider is enough, cockroach is enough. You know, there are many people, when I invite them to come to India, first thing I ask, how can I handle cockroaches if they come to my room? You know, if you turn all the lights off, this darkness means whether there is cockroach or snake or lizard, any creature is there, you do not even know something is there underneath. Now there is no fear at all. You are not very happy also because you don't know. Nothing is there. You don't know it is there. Therefore there is no fear. Isn't it? But what happens? There is a bright light in the room and we happen to see something. Some wire is, you know, just falling there. And then you see the wire in the corner. Oh, you see the wire as a wire. Oh, just the wire. There is no fear. When you see the object as it is not a source of fear for you. Then when you do not see a real snake also in utter darkness, there is no fear for you. Isn't it? But suppose there is a bedroom, something called bedroom light we have, a dim light. You don't want the room to be too dark. You want to get up and move in the midnight to drink water, to go to loo or something. So there is a dim light. The dim light, you cannot see objects clearly. At the same time, you know, you can see things, but you can't see very clearly. Then what happens? You see the wire, and the wire, you know, is in there in such a way, it looks like a crawling snake. Isn't it? And when you see the snake, because of the dimness of the light, you see the crawling snake and you get frightened and you are screaming. You don't want to be alone there. You want help from other people. You scream. Why? Because you want to get rid of the snake. And because you are shivering, trembling already because you don't know what to do. When there is fear, there is no real snake. Even somebody else comes and hits the snake, tries to kill the snake also, because there is no real snake, that there is no way of getting rid of the snake. There is only a wire. But still in your perception there is a snake. And you are shivering and trembling. You are so frightened, screaming. You don't know what to do. And somebody gives you the idea. Okay, how can I get rid of the fear? I can't handle this fear now. How can I get rid of the fear? The only way you can become free from the hold of fear, just by knowing the fact there is no snake. Because that is the fact. Knowledge of the fact is the only means of removal of your fear. How can you get rid of your fear? You know, knowledge of the fact. Because there is no real snake, and you should know there is no snake. There is no snake at all. This is the fact. And you should know that fact. Knowing that fact, that there is no snake at all, is the only means of freeing yourself from fear. For you to know there is no snake at all, what you need is, you need to have the knowledge of what actually is. If there is no snake at all, okay, if that is the fact, I should know what is that which looks like a snake. What that snake is then? What is that which looks like a snake? What is? Knowledge of what is. Knowledge of what is the rope. Isn't it? Is the only means of understanding the fact that there is no snake at all. Therefore, knowledge of what is the only means of understanding the fact that there is no snake. Understanding the fact that there is no snake at all is the means of becoming, freeing yourself from the fear caused by the perception of snake. Is it clear? So you need to know what is. In knowing what is rope or wire, you resolve the snake in the very wire. Don't drive away the snake from there. You don't need to kill the snake and throw it away. No, nothing. You need not do anything. You know action is required. No action is required. Inverted comma, okay? No action is required for you. You cognitively, intellectually resolve the snake, which is a source of fear, which has been really tormenting you, isn't it? Sitting in the corner, you resolve the snake in the very wire. How? So seeing the wire as a wire is the only means of simultaneously resolving the snake in the wire and not knowing the fact what is rope, wire, there is no snake at all. This understanding of the fact, this knowledge of this fact is what is the means of freeing yourself from fear. What you need is knowledge, not action. Understand? To free yourself from the problem of fear, which is now unpleasant, the discomfort causing the fear, for you to get rid of it, you need knowledge of what is, not the action. You don't need to do anything there. Okay, somebody comes and tells you, okay, sit in a corner, close your eyes, meditate on snake or meditate on rope. Without knowing what is rope, if you sit and you're asked to meditate on wire, okay, the very fear being there, your mind cannot even have meditative disposition. Understand how stupid it is, absurd, foolish it is to meditate upon the wire. Somebody comes and tells you, you sit and meditate upon wire, that's the only way wire will appear for you and you can become free. Understand? And somebody else comes, don't meditate, sit and sing bhajans in a corner, or sing some classical music, or dance, or do pranayama. There, you know, follow this discipline, satyam vada, dharmam chara. You observe, you know, you follow ahimsa. Hey, where are they relevant? Understand? So, yama niyamas are relevant when, you know, in day-to-day life, in your whole life, in every transaction in the world when you're having, yama niyamas are relevant. They have to be choicelessly followed. What choice do you have? If you are an intelligent, mature person, if you want to live your life without transgressing the universal law and order, what choice do you have? You have to follow yama niyama. Any intelligent, mature person will follow yama niyama. When you're following yama niyama means you are living your life in tune with, in harmony with the universal, natural, physical, moral order, Ishvara. You are not transgressing the, or not disturbing the harmony of the universal order. Therefore, you are not disturbed by the order. No, Swamiji says beautifully, the whole world is like, because the whole world happens to be the manifestation of the only reality, and yourself being the reality, actually, the whole world is like your mirror. Suppose if you stand in front of the mirror, and if you smile nicely, show your teeth, the mirror will reflect your, the reflection also will smile at you, smile back. You pull a long face and frown at the mirror, the image also will frown at you. Isn't it? Why? Because that is how the whole jagat is. If anything I do, my actions, you know, really transgress the universal values means, what now? It will come back to me. What I do will come back to me. That is how the universal, natural, physical, moral law and order is. That is the order. It will come back to me. Therefore, intelligent living means live in harmony with the universal, natural law and order. What is the way? How can I live my universe life in tune with the natural law and order without disturbing the order? Follow yama niyama. So living, following yama niyama, one must be mature to follow yama niyama. By following yama and niyama, by following these disciplines, you really become more cultured, refined, civilized, isn't it? Mature man of, no, mature person. That only helps. That is the relevance of those yama niyamas. Similarly, pranayama is also the same thing. Every exercise, anything you do using your will, that is useful for you to discipline your mind for being capable of focusing on a given thing. Understand? And similarly, meditation also is what now? Initially, it's a will involved, deliberate action, mental activity. Your mind wants to go elsewhere because you know what you need to assimilate, what you need to ascertain. Therefore, you drag me, or not physically. Mind does not go physically, does not go leaving the body elsewhere. The mind is here in the body. Attention of the mind goes all over. And all your efforts is what now? To bring the attention of the mind, take the attention of the mind from all the five, the world of objects, proceed through five senses. Take the attention from all the five. That's what Draupadi, Draupadi is the mind whose attention was distracted by five husbands, five sense organs. And the attention had to be drawn. So distracted, diversified mental energy has to be converged and focused and brought back to one's own Swarupam Krishna. Isn't it? It has to be brought back. Then it is the all the Shakti. Then focus. What are you focusing on? There's a mental activity. So it's only activity, action. So meditation, if you sit and meditate on the rope or wire here, will it remove the ignorance of what is? Rope meditation will not remove the ignorance of, or wire meditation will not remove the ignorance of what wire is. When you do not know what wire is, you cannot even meditate on wire. Understand? Wire meditation is not possible because you do not know what wire is. If you know what wire is, then the problem would have been solved. Isn't it? So it's not possible. Okay, apart from wire, let me meditate on the window or curtain. Because whatever is apart from the snake, whatever is there, I need to focus my attention. I'm opposed to meditate. No, meditation will free me from this fear. So let me meditate. Meditate on this leaf. Meditate on this mic. Meditate on this book. Oh, there's a flame, lamp. Lamp, flame. Let me meditate on this flame of fire. I tell you, if you meditate on flame, you will have what now? You divert your attention from the snake to, you try to focus your attention on flame of fire. You put the lamp in front of you and you're meditating on, focusing on, first dharanam. Bring the attention from, take the attention away from snake, everything else, the frightening snake, then focus on flame of fire. Then what happens? Dharanam. Mind is focused on, now you entertain a thought dealing with flame of fire. Have dharanam. Then you try to fix your attention on, retain the attention on the same flame, flame thought, no flame akara vrittihi, no agni jwala akara vritti, continuous flow of thoughts. In what happens? You have the absorption in the object of flame of fire. First, mind goes in between, the fear comes. You bring the attention back to flame and the struggle, after long struggle, that is meditation. Now you practice meditation from dharana, flame dharana to flame dhyanam. And somehow you are successful, the mind attention remains absorbed in the flame and there is savikalpaka samadhi. What now? You are there, flame is there. The whole world disappeared. There is absorption of thought in flame. You are in meditation and there is a sajatiya, vijatiya, pratyaya anantarita, sajatiya, agnijwala, pratyaya pravahaha. You have that. Savikalpa samadhi. Then afterwards, avikalpa samadhi, what now? Because in absorption, it leaves behind the samskara, vasanas. Now there is again the constant, there is a samadhi also comes. Nirvikalpa samadhi comes. There is a sukshma vritti. Again, without your effort, there is what now? There is a continuous, constant flow of subtle sukshma vrittis of Vini vrittis, the only object of thought is Agni Jwala, flame, flame, flame. Without your deliberate effort, it's going on. Nirvikalpa Samadhi also happens. Okay? And you are there. After some time, Samadhi means what? Experience. Whether Savikalpaka Samadhi or any Samadhi, Samadhi means experience. The experience will definitely come to an end. Okay, and you are disturbed in Samadhi. You wake up. So quiet mind. For your whole Jagat disappeared. Only flame was there, and flame also disappeared. Because I am the meditator, there is a flame object of meditation. That division also is what? Division is there, but unmanifest division. That is Nirvikalpaka Samadhi. Still, you wake up. First thing you see is snake. Again you jump. Why? Because Samadhi experience, a beautiful meditation, wonderful effort, all efforts are highly, it's a praiseworthy effort, because what an amount of effort to retain it, focus, to bring the attention, focus the attention, retain the attention, every time it goes, bring it back. No? My God, Dhyanam, finally absorbed. Samadhi also is wonderful. Afterwards I get up, then snake again. In fear. Which means that meditation does not free you from your actual problem of freedom from fear. Fear, it does not free you from the fear. The fear continues to be there. So what is this meditation for? Understand? Meditation as a mental activity does not remove the ignorance of what is. The removal of the ignorance of what is, isn't alone, will remove the fear of the snake. Because the fact has to become clear. No, somebody else should not come and tell you, no, there is no snake. There's only wire. Oh, that is not the way. Somebody else tells you means, it is not, I don't know. Let me take auto-suggestion, there's no snake. There's no snake. There's no snake. There's no snake. There's only wire. There's only wire. If you simply sit also, it is a mechanical prattling also, is not contemplation or meditation. You must know what is that? What is there? Only wire is. When you say what is wire only, in that ascertainment, you have resolved the snake. You say there is no snake at all. Along with the snake, your fear also becomes resolved. That is why freedom from fear is, or no, in fact, freedom from fear is in resolving the snake, cognitively resolving the snake, the fear along with the snake in its own substratum, actually what is. Understand? Then what happens after knowing that also? Somehow you made an effort. No, I had samadhi experience, flame samadhi, no, nirvikalpa samadhi, savikalpa samadhi, dharana, niyama, yama. I did everything, such a disciplined, cultured person. Only one thing has not gone is ignorance. Therefore, still fear is. Now, somebody comes and tells you, this is not the way, you know, You, of course, you need this. All these things are very important. Who says these are not important? To know yama, nema, nothing. You can just go and know, you'll know. No, this is all very important. All these eightfold limb, eight-limbed, this yoga is useful, helps you, only when you know this fact. So, then he says, what now? Come on, see, there's no snake. Why? This is, what is here is wire. He takes the wire and shows, see, only wire is there, no snake here. Very clearly the person shows. Then this person has understood, that is Shastra study. Okay, what is this wire? Therefore, there is no snake at all. Therefore, there is nothing which can frighten me. There is no need for the fear to be there. Fear is gone. Okay? It's gone. But still, every time you go to the room, once upon a time, you were seeing the rope. You were seeing the snake. Because you were seeing the snake for a long time, you remained frightened for a very long time. Somebody came, went into the room, showed that wire to you as a wire, and he showed there's no snake, he's gone back. The teacher came in, took that, come on, it's only wire, there's no snake, showed and went off. But what happened? You were the one all the time living there. You've been always seeing the snake there for a very long time. Even though the teacher came and showed you very clearly, there is no snake, there's only wire. Because you were experiencing snake for a long time, every time you go inside that room, the snake memory comes. Old memory comes. Old memory what? My God. I saw the snake there. I saw the snake there. I saw the snake there. There's no snake. Why? This is called habitual error. Because long time I was thinking there was a snake, there was a snake, there was a snake. That snake dhyanam has gone into my subconscious. It is still sitting there. Snake samskara is there. Even after knowing the rope, wire is a wire, after knowing there is no snake, previous perception of, previous experience of, my previous erroneous perception of snake created samskara of snake being there. That's why whenever I go into the room, the snake thought comes, snake thought comes, along with the snake thought, fear also comes. My God, what is this? Even after knowing there is no snake, there is only wire, still snake thought comes and snake fear comes. Why? The teacher showed you only once. There's no rope, there's no wire, there's no snake. He showed you only once. But how many days, how many months you have been seeing this snake there? Therefore, old memory is sitting. What to do now? That old memory caused by wrong perception, which has gone into your subconscious. See, subconscious, everything will be there. Right perception, wrong perception, all experiences will leave what? Scars in the mind. Will leave behind your vasanas. So they will surface. It is coming up. That is called what now? That is also impurity. Impurities in a coming from your old impurities, previously accumulated, coming from your subconscious, surfacing, and even doesn't allow this knowledge to remain there. Even though knowledge is there, it disturbs, isn't it? Now how to get rid of it? How to get rid of this problem? Sit there. Now the teacher says, now what you are doing is actual meditation. This will serve the purpose. Your meditation, you are not going to meditate upon wire not knowing what wire is. Now you have seen the wire, you know there is no snake. What is his wire alone? That until the old samskara resolves, goes away, should sister remember, yes, there is, I did see very clearly, there is only wire, no snake. There is only wire. There is only wire. There is only wire. You are not saying this without seeing the wire. You have understood. There is somebody came and made very clear what is wire. And that what you understood, you are repeatedly focusing on. That is called Nididhyasanam. Understand? And then, after some time, how long should I be saying, there is only wire, what is only wire, means there is no snake at all. That implies, what is only wire means no snake at all, what is only wire, no snake at all. It's implied, okay? So, repeatedly saying, after some time, this creates new samskara, isn't it? Then what happens? That neutralizes the world and there becomes clear, doubt-free. If somebody comes and tells, there is a snake, there is only wire. That is called what? That is called Jnana Nishtha. It's called Jnana Nishtha. You are Muktaha, Jivan Muktaha. You are liberated from fear of snake. Vision of the wire resulted in freedom from fear of snake. Ascertained vision of the wire results in what? Freedom from fear of snake, which is muktihi, jivan mukti. Okay, so we'll apply this tomorrow to jivan mukti. Actual jivan mukti we'll discuss tomorrow. Om purnamadah purnamidam purnat purnamudachyate purnasya purnamadaya purnameva vasishyate. Om shanti shanti shantihi. Harihi Om Tat Sat Shri Gurubhyo Namaha. Harihi Om.